An Ash Wednesday Sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on March 8, 2000, in the series, What Wouldn't Jesus Do?, entitled, If I Should Wake Before I Die. The texts for the sermon are Daniel 6, verses 10 through 13 and 19 through 24, and John 12, verses 20 through 28. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
I told Nancy that my subject tonight is If I Should Wake Before I Die. Maybe I should change it to If I Should Die Before I Preach. That's kind of the way it feels tonight. But we'll persevere in any case. This is Ash Wednesday, and for me, one of my favorite services. There is so much in the world that lacks authenticity, reality, and honesty. But Ash Wednesday is not one of those days. There's so much even in the church that is self-serving and institutionally promoting and so far from the depths of reality. But on Ash Wednesday, we face the fact that we will die. I will die, and you will die. And your pastors will look at you and place ashes on your forehead and say, dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. And that's a wonderfully honest moment. Is there a more solemn or honest moment? Is there another place in the world where you can go to receive that kind of truth, that kind of honesty, be faced with that kind of reality? I think that's one of the great advantages we have as a worshiping community, that we place ourselves under the Word of God and we expose ourselves, we make ourselves vulnerable to that Word which becomes now and again powerfully true in our lives and in our experience. Ash Wednesday, following hard on the heels of Super Tuesday this year. Rather ironic. The thing that I want to speak about this Lenten midweek series is WWJD. You see bracelets with WWJD. Perhaps some of you have them here tonight, so I'll speak very gently about them. It's perfectly all right to wear them. I have the impression that there is a lot of flaunting of our faith these days. It's interesting that what would Jesus do was a question that was asked in a book by Charles Sheldon of an earlier generation, who was a Protestant liberal, a part of the social gospel, who wrote a wonderful little book in his steps, telling about how a drunk presented himself at the altar of the community church one day, and how would they respond? What would they do with him? And out of that, they began to ask the question, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? In every situation, community leaders, community institutions, it spread like wildfire. And the community was transformed as they asked that question before every action they took. I suppose it is that prominence of the bracelet, WWJD, that caused me to come up with a series which is not what would Jesus do, but what wouldn't Jesus do? What are some of the things that Jesus wouldn't do? As I said, Ash Wednesday following on the heels of Super Tuesday, I think one of the things that Jesus wouldn't do is to run for the presidency of the United States. We have just been subjected to an early part of what will be a year-long ordeal for us. I think a people essentially gets what a people deserves. And we have created a monster. Our political system is for sale. It's bought and paid for. And we force those who would run for office into awful contortions of what genuine humanity is all about. And I use that as only as an illustration of what I want to say tonight. What wouldn't Jesus do? Jesus wouldn't sell his soul for anything. Jesus wouldn't compromise his principles for anything. Jesus wouldn't yield up his values and his vision for any gain whatsoever. Jesus lived out of vision, out of his own truth, which he was convinced was the truth of God. And he lived true to it, and he died true to it. And he recognized that it is more valuable to live fully in one's truth than simply to exist. What wouldn't Jesus do? Jesus wouldn't sell his soul. And I was thinking about that. And then about the price and the cost involved in that kind of commitment. And I was reminded of the story of Daniel. I haven't read the story of Daniel in a long time. I think of it as kind of a Sunday school story. I remember getting a Sunday school paper with the actual lions in the lion's den on the cover in color. And as I read that story again, as I visited it again, you know, Daniel is a young Jewish boy in exile in Babylon, and he becomes a servant of the king because of his gifts, his talents, his skills, his integrity and all. And he's promoted, and anytime you're promoted, you become vulnerable to attack, and there were conspirators that wanted to get Daniel. And so they hired a private eye, but they couldn't find anything on him. They said, if we're going to get anything on this young man, it's going to have to be his religion. And so they got the king to pass an edict that for 30 days no one was to worship anyone in heaven or earth, human or God, except the king. And the king signed it, and when he signed it, that was it. The law of the Medes and the Persians cannot be changed. And then, of course, they watched Daniel, and Daniel continued his regular practice of devotion, his kneeling and bowing toward Jerusalem as he carried on his prayer with the God of his life. And so they reported him to the king, but the king was distressed because he loved Daniel and he respected Daniel. But it was the law of the Medes and the Persians, and so what could he do? So they threw Daniel into the lion's den, but the lions' mouths were stopped. And then the king couldn't sleep all night. At the break of dawn, he rushes to the den, he calls out Daniel, and he finds out Daniel's just fine, and he's so happy. And then he says, throw the conspirators in the lion's den. And the lions crunched him. Now I thought about that Bible story. And there are others too. Inspiring story of integrity, of holding to the truth, of living out one's truth, of not compromising one's faith in God or one's practice or observance out of expediency or for political advantage or economic gain. And it comes out well. The story was written probably in the time of Antiochus Epiphanes, and this was early on in the occupation of Judea and Jerusalem. And this was a time when the apocalyptic spirit was rising, and people were believing that somehow or other God was going to have to do something. God was going to intervene. God was going to destroy the wicked and vindicate the righteous. And Daniel was one of those inspiring stories that was written at this time to encourage people to be faithful and to hold on and not to compromise or not to give up. And the story with the typical apocalyptic theme came out well. Daniel saved, the enemies crushed. So Daniel, true to his faith, and if you are true like Daniel, isn't there a little song we used to sing as children, Dare to be a Daniel? If you're true like Daniel, you may get thrown in the lion's den, but the lion's mouths will be stopped. And it's your enemies whose bones will be crunched. And then I think of Jesus. And the story didn't come out so well. I wonder if Jesus shared that apocalyptic hope that God was about to move in some dramatic fashion. I don't know. So Amy Jill Levine and Dominic Crossan may solve that for us. They'll fight about it anyway. But I suppose because I've been thinking about this so much, I was struck by the fact that in Daniel, in the apocalyptic mode, the righteous finally are vindicated and the enemies of the righteous are thrown down. But what happened with Jesus? If we really hear the gospel, if we really hear the word of God, then there is no promise that the angel is going to stop the lion's mouths, is there? As a matter of fact, Jesus struggled all the way. And that's why I am so impressed with that one whose life made the impression that is reflected in those gospels, struggling all the way, not knowing, but valuing something above his life. And that was his truth. Valuing his values, living by his vision, knowing there was something more important than simply perpetuating his days as a biological walking machine. As a human being, Jesus was awake before he died. And he walked to his death clear-eyed, fully aware. We can't know what was going on. We get the story from the Gospels of the struggle in Gethsemane. Let this cup pass. No eager martyr here. We hear his cry of dereliction on the cross, my God, why? But in the end, it was into thy hand I commend my spirit. Luke's account. Jesus' prayer reflecting the psalmist who trusted in God in the midst of the attack of the enemy. Jesus valuing his truth more than his life, because he died awake. He died aware. He knew who he was. He knew what God was calling him to be. He lived that out faithfully, trusting in the darkness. And that's life. That's really to live. To have some principle. To have some vision. To have some value. To know who I am. To know why I am. And then to let the chips fall. No groveling, pleading, pathetic, wimpy, reaching out for mercy. Let me live my truth. Then I can die with my eyes wide open. Tonight, in the somberness of this place and this time, dear friend, you will die. So then, live every day you have. Make it your life. Make it your truth. Make it your vision. You be your own person, by God, before the face of God. So living, death holds no terror.